is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
I'll tell you what, I was at the barbershop getting my haircut today. Come out, and there is a kid, and he's in one of these neo-goth type outfits. He's in all black. He's got the white stuff on his face. He's got his hair now newly cut in this strange configuration with half of it sticking straight out to the side. And there is the lady who cut his hair explaining to his mom how to get it to work that way with the stuff she was selling them to sculpt it in that way. And I sat there and thought, you know, if you're going to be a neo-goth kind of rebel, does it really make sense to have your barber explaining to your mom how to get your hair that way? And I think that kind of sums up a lot of what's going on in contemporary American life, and including in a lot of our churches. At the same time that you have parents who are neglecting their kids in a lot of ways, dropping them off places all day long and not seeing them except for a couple of minutes at night, or just allowing them to go in their own way, at the same time you've got this kind of hovering and overprotecting of children at the same time, and there's confusion everywhere as to how to parent. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and I am curious, what do you think are the biggest issues facing questions of parenthood for people in our churches? When you're thinking about the way that we view children and the way that we raise children and the way that we receive children, what do you think are the biggest challenges to the people who sit in the pews around you, to the people who live in your neighborhood? If you could say, if I could give a message to the pastors and the church leaders in the United States of America, I would say these are the issues that are the biggest problems that parents in your churches are having. What would you say? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you're a parent yourself and you say, you know, when it comes to living out the Christ life as a parent, when it comes to showing the next generation how to live and to walk in Christ, this is my biggest challenge. This is what I need the most help and attention paid to. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know, how do you think that we as churches can do a better job showing and shaping our own people in terms of what it means to welcome and to nurture and to discipline and to raise children? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let's talk about parenthood in the church. In a few minutes, I'm going to have a special guest on who is an ethicist at Duke University who has written a really interesting book in which she says a lot of the confusion going on in the culture right now about children, about parenthood, a lot of that confusion, she says, started with us. It started in the church. It started in some things that we let go in our own churches, and the culture picked it up later on. What do you think? What are the biggest challenges to parenthood? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, in the news today, a developing story. I'm not even really sure exactly what is going on, except that I know that in the United States House of Representatives right now, the Republicans are on the floor debating the energy plan, talking about gas prices, and they're there in the dark. Speaker Pelosi and the Democratic leadership adjourned the House, cut off the lights, but the Republicans are still there. Congressman John Carter, Republican of Texas, had this to say.
I'm Congressman John Carter from the 31st Congressional District in Texas. This is a historic day at the United States Congress. Members of the Republican minority have taken the floor and they have continued the debate after the House has adjourned. The Democratic leadership has adjourned the House, turned out the lights, turned off the mics, and yet the Republicans are still talking about the need for an energy plan so that we can drive down the price of gas in America. This is a historic, as far as we can tell, this has never been done before.
I don't think that ever has been done before. It sounds like a war zone. Sounds like a correspondent reporting from the battlefield. But he is actually, because the television cameras are off in the House, Congressman Carter is giving that message via Twitter. So this is going to be an interesting story to see how it unfolds. Also, John McCain has unveiled a new campaign ad today, yet another ad mocking Barack Obama. This is it.
It shall be known that in 2008 the world will be blessed. They will call him the One.
A nation healed, a world repaired. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
And he has anointed himself, ready to carry the burden of the One. To quote Barack, "I have become a symbol of America returning to our best traditions." He can do no wrong.
Do you have any doubts?
Never.
Can you see the light?
A light will shine down from somewhere. It will light upon you. You will experience an epiphany. And you will say to yourself, "I have to vote for Barack."
And the world shall receive his blessings.
This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal.
Behold his mighty hand.
Barack Obama may be the One, but is he ready to lead?
You know, I am as irritated as anybody by the messianic pretentiousness of Barack Obama, but I, several of us were talking today. We think this is a little bit over the top. I think that if John McCain has anything, he has gravitas and dignity, and I'm just not sure that this strategy is going to work, but apparently he thinks it is. And he says, campaigning in Wisconsin yesterday, that he thinks the other ad, the one with Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, he thinks it was a good idea too.
All I can say is that we're proud of that commercial. We think Americans need to know that I believe that we should base this campaign on what we can do for Americans here at home and how we can make America safe and prosperous. And that's the theme of our campaign. I thank you.
And Senator Obama is taking up Ronald Reagan's catchphrase from 1980, the "Are you better off?" question. This is what Barack Obama had to say.
So the first thing I want to do, Florida, is just ask you a very simple question. Do you think that you are better off now than you were 4 years ago or 8 years ago? And if you don't think you're better off, do you think you can afford another 4 years of the same failed economic policies that we've had under George W. Bush?
Now, this is almost exactly, in a different kind of phrasing, from what Ronald Reagan had to say in the statement in the debate in 1980 that actually turned the tide. It was the moment when historians say he won the election. This is what it was.
Next Tuesday is election day. Next Tuesday, all of you will go to the polls, will stand there in the polling place and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
And now the voters will get to spend the next couple of months trying to decide whether or not that question will decide this election. Speaking of Barack Obama, National Review Online has a really devastating review of Stephen Mansfield's new little volume, The Faith of Barack Obama. And it says that this is a puff piece coming out trying to make Barack Obama look like an evangelical Christian when it doesn't even talk about what Barack Obama's actual religion is, the liberation theology that we all know of from Jeremiah Wright, and not just Jeremiah Wright, but the entire tenor of the Trinity United Church of Christ. The shameful thing for me about all of this is not simply that you have such a book. Is that an evangelical publisher has published The Faith of Barack Obama without dealing with his church beliefs, without dealing with his position on denying personhood to unborn babies. And babies. That's what we're talking about today. Children. Parenthood. We live in a confused day. The world's first test tube baby turned 30 last week. Parents all over the country are trying to decide, how in the world am I going to raise these kids? Should I raise these kids? Should I just kind of send them in the direction to develop their own self-expression? What do you think about our churches? What do you think are the most pressing needs in our churches for us to talk about, for us to show about parenthood? How can we turn the tide around when it comes to godly parenthood in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. When you think about the biggest problems out there facing the parents in your community, in your church, what would they be? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about babies, about parenthood, and about whether or not we're as confused as the rest of the culture about designer babies, about helicopter parenting, about all of the things that we see going on in our culture. Are we really, as Christians, at the root of some of it? I want to hear from you. What do you think are the biggest challenges to understanding a biblical view of parenthood in your church and community? What do you think are the things about teaching parents how to understand children and to welcome children and to love children? What are the biggest challenges we have? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What's something that you would say, you know what, I think in our churches, our pastors, our leaders, they really need to understand that our people need to know, need to hear about, need to be encouraged and equipped in this particular area. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know what you think are the biggest challenges for Christians right now to having a Christian understanding of what it means to be a parent, of what it means to raise and rear children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But first, glad to welcome onto the program today Amy Laura Hall, who is an ethicist at Duke University Divinity School. She's written a book that I found really fascinating called Conceiving Parenthood, American Protestantism and the Spirit of Reproduction. It's a history of the way that Protestant Christians have thought about babies and parenthood over the course of the last century or so, and really has some fascinating insights about kind of how we got here with the way that we think about children and the way that we think about parenting. Amy Laura Hall, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you so very much.
Good to have you with us today. I found it really interesting when I got to the end of your book, you mention a quote by the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Catherine Jeffords Shorey, a quote that I remember reading in the New York Times Magazine the day it was published, and I stood there with my mouth open aghast because she was asked about children, and she said that Episcopalians don't have as many children as Catholics or Mormons or others because they're better educated and they have more of a stewardship over the environment. And I thought it was interesting that you said the way that one reacts to that comment really tells you a whole lot about where you see things these days.
Absolutely. It involves a cultural divide between those who would say, well, of course, you know, if you're a good, respectable citizen of the United States, you'd only have maybe two kids, and at best, it would be best to have one. And those who'd say, wait a minute, that's not how we're supposed to think about children, and you know, why are we thinking that way? I mean, stewardship is about receiving the gifts that God gives us. And so, yes, I have friends on both sides of those divides, and it gets tricky at times, but we have to keep talking to each other.
Now, you write particularly from the standpoint of mainline Protestantism, and most of our listeners are evangelical Christian Protestants. I wonder, when you look at evangelical Christians and evangelical churches, conservative Protestant churches, where do you kind of see the attitudes toward children and parenting there these days?
Well, I should say that I consider myself an evangelical mainline.
Okay.
You know, which there are some of us out there,
sure.
right,
mm-hmm.
who are United Methodist and also evangelical. But the evangelicals that I talk to who are part of non-denominational churches, who are part of, different Baptist cooperative fellowships and Southern Baptist churches, what they tell me is that one of the real struggles is involving children in their everyday life, in their congregations,
mm-hmm.
In a way that they don't feel judged, because after all, there's also a whole lot of pressure on evangelicals to be raising holy children,
mm-hmm.
to be raising children who are showing signs of God's grace. And unfortunately, what our children often show to those around us in our churches is they show that Cain and Abel, sure enough, is lived out every day in our home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that our kids, whether they be boys or girls, are really capable of the worst. And so there's a whole lot of pressure on evangelicals, no matter how many kids they have, to have those children be showing signs of God's grace. And of course they do sometimes, but a lot of times what they're showing everybody around us is we're fallen. We're really
now when you say a lot of pressure, do you mean a lot of pressure for them to be well behaved, or a lot of pressure for them to make early professions of faith in Christ?
Oh, well, I think both, right? I mean, because sanctification is to follow on justification.
Mm-hmm.
So if they profess their faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord, which is crucial,
mm-hmm.
crucial, they're supposed to, after that, show signs that they are growing in holiness. And, you know, a week after your little one has just said, "Mommy, I believe Jesus is coming to save me,"
mm-hmm.
The week later they might be saying, "I hate my brother," or "I hate my sister."
Well, they might say it 2 minutes later. That's exactly right.
Well, yeah, I was trying to give the best case scenario a week later, but yeah, it could be minutes later. And there's a lot of pressure, I think, in part. Can I keep going?
I'm sure.
In part because of television. I think, as my husband said one time, when my little, my oldest daughter, when she was little, she was talking back to him, and he said, "Well, she sure doesn't sound like Half Pint. Why isn't she respectable like Half Pint used to?" We have this vision that kids might stray periodically,
mm-hmm.
but that it's only periodic. And really, it's daily that we struggle with kids who are showing us signs that we need to be saved by Jesus, because
you know,
we can't save ourselves.
I think it's almost exactly the opposite in a lot of evangelical churches that I see, in which television actually creates a culture in which children are kind of speaking to their parents almost as peers. They kind of pick up this smart alecky kind of a Arthur type of a personality off of television, and they just make these outrageous quips to their parents as though they're equal peers moving through life together. So I guess that could work both ways.
Oh, listen, absolutely can work both ways. I mean, I was thinking more in terms of how the parents think about their kids, because the parents in my generation, even evangelicals, a lot of them watch television.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was, I mean, Little House on the Prairie would be maybe one of the few shows that evangelical Christians were allowed to watch who were my age when they were kids, because it was considered a good focus on the family sort of, okay show
mm-hmm.
to watch. And even there, you get kids behaving well. But today's television shows, I mean, I should say we don't have a television in our home for that reason, because even wonderful Billy Ray Cyrus, who's supposed to be, a good guy, all in all, has his daughter on a show where the kids talk back to their parents, as I would count it, talk back on a regular basis.
All right. What do you think? What do you think are the biggest challenges facing parents in Christian churches and homes right now? What are the areas of confusion that you think people in our pews, in our churches, have toward how to raise up godly children in a culture that seems to be so confused about what to make of children? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think are the biggest challenges to godly parenthood today? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
are listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about parenthood. What do you think are the biggest challenges to people in our churches today about understanding what it means to be a parent? In a world in which so much of this is confused by television, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, by the fact that you can open up a newspaper in any American city and see advertisements for people willing to sell their eggs, in a world in which many of our children are drugged out of their minds, not just by illicit drugs, but by drugs that are prescribed, what should we be saying to parents in our churches that we're not saying right now, that we're not doing right now to equip them to raise up children in a world like this? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think are the biggest challenges for us in equipping and upbuilding godly parents? 877-893-8255. But first, have on the line Amy Laura Hall, our guest today, who's the author of Conceiving Parenthood, American Protestantism and the Spirit of Reproduction, and she is a professor of theological ethics at Duke University Divinity School. And I found this book really interesting in tracing the history of some things that you and I see around us all the time, and we just don't think about. We don't know where it's coming from. She makes a very interesting argument that some of it's coming from us, from our churches. Amy Laura Hall, I think it's really interesting what you talk about in this book about kind of the germ-free household of American Protestantism in the 20th century. And I happen to have read that the same day that I was in a restaurant and saw a mom with some children, and she took out a bottle of Purell, antibiotic cleanser, and just poured it all over the table and just scrubbed the thing down before she put her children at the table. Do you think that we kind of have a hyper-anxious, kind of overprotective kind of parenting going on these days?
Absolutely. I mean, that's classic. I love it. You know, one of the things I write about in the book is the phenomenon of putting these little barriers on the grocery carts.
Uh-huh.
Where you used to be, you know, you'd see kids chewing on the grocery carts, and you just think, you know, well, that's what kids do. They chew on the handle of the grocery carts.
Yeah.
Well, then after I think there were certain milestones in public health where we started to see that as a danger. You know, what if your kid caught something from another person's child?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I find just so striking about that is that when we come forward for the Lord's Supper, for communion,
yep,
we profess to believe that Jesus makes us one, that
mm-hmm.
Jesus, that we're at, or in using a different language, that we're baptized to die and rise with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use, you know, another language. I mean, I should say and that is that we're all washed in the same blood.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then guess what? Purell is not going to fix that. We're all kin with one another. We're all in some ways the same. So I think part of what happened was there was this sense that mothers were supposed to protect their kids from anything and everything that might make your kid not succeed, not, you know, be able to keep going to school and keep getting good grades and, you know, keep winning progress, not by God's way of thinking, but by a kind of American progress way of thinking.
You know, that's a really interesting point, because one of the things that I talk about in churches in my tradition a lot is about recovering the Lord's Supper and about having a common cup and a common piece of bread. And one of the things that I find is a lot of people in my tradition, what they say to that is not, we don't think it's biblical, it's, well, then we might catch germs. It just seems to be ingrained into who we are as Americans these days. Now,
oh, absolutely. No, the common cup is one of the most dangerous things you can institute in Protestant churches. I mean, it's so scary, because we tell our kids not to drink after other people's kids.
Right.
And we tell them, you know, when they're getting a drink of water. I find myself doing this myself when I'm in the airport or wherever, a really public place. I say, now be careful. Don't put your mouth on, you know, where the water's coming out at the water fountain. We have such such a sense that of fear to drink after one another. But my goodness, Jesus said something pretty obscene in John's gospel. He said, "Drink my blood."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, and at the time, of course, people, some of them went running the other direction. It's really, really scary and countercultural to say, "Don't be scared of your brother or sister," because
mm-hmm.
Jesus made us all.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy Laura Hall. I'm wondering what you think. How can we equip Christians to keep from either being neglectful or overly protective and anxious? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What are the biggest challenges to equipping people to a biblical view of parenthood? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
I loved her first, I held her first, and a place in my heart will always be hers. From the first breath she breathed, when she first smiled at me, I knew.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about parenthood. What do you think are the biggest challenges facing Christians when it comes to the issues of parenting and children? What are the biggest problems out there that we need to be addressing? Not just out there in the culture at large, but in our own churches. And give me a call. Let me know. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we're joined by Amy Laura Hall, professor of Duke at Duke University Divinity School, and author of Conceiving Parenthood, American Protestantism and the Spirit of Reproduction. Amy Laura, I thought the most fascinating part of this book is when you talk about the idea of risk and about the fact that sometimes you have people, when they're talking to those who are adopting children or even in other situations, they say, you know, you don't know what you're going to wind up with. And I thought that your answer to that was beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about what you thought through about that idea of the riskiness of having a child?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we laugh about it in our family that suddenly when we discerned the call to adopt, a lot of people came out of the closet as atheists. I mean, the thing is that the idea that you don't know what you're getting when you adopt is heresy, because we know what we're getting when we adopt. We're getting a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that's just basic. If you believe as Orthodox, you know, small o, as classical Christianity in all forms, believe that every single child is indeed from God, then you're adopting a child of God. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to say that in just about any audience is to kind of provoke some real questions, because most people think that they're divided from those that are their blood kin and those that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wrecks that. I mean, Jesus
sure
messes
does.
All that up,
he
and
sure
we're suddenly all blood kin.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy Laura Hall, professor of theological ethics at Duke University Divinity School and author of Conceiving Parenthood, American Protestantism and the Spirit of Reproduction. What do you think? 877-893-8255. What are the biggest challenges to godly parenthood in the church today? And we have on the line Paula. Paula, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello. I'm happy to be here to speak with you. I'm a grandmother of three.
Mm-hmm.
And my observation is that we are neglecting to teach our children to trust.
To trust?
Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fearful kind of thing that we have to deal with as far as taking them to playgrounds unattended. Trust. Trust in mom and dad. Trust in the minister. Trust in the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Have so often, I think parents are so afraid of being counterculture
mm-hmm.
that we have a tendency to diminish the strength of simply trusting in what I say.
So now, Paula, you think that this is happening because we try to explain why we do everything to children?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yes, I do think so. I think a lot of times as parents, we get a little soft-footed about it, and we feel shaky. And our children, and I speak for my grandchildren in particular, they're looking for somebody to depend upon,
mm-hmm.
someone whose word they know is true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. If you could say to pastors and church leaders and those who are going to be ministering to families in your neighborhood, I think these are the biggest issues that you need to hit in my neighborhood or in our church or in our area or what I've observed, give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and say, you know, this is what I think is going on in parenting and family life, and this is how we as a church can address it, can have a different view of parenting and children and childhood itself. 877-893-8255. I'm not sure that I agree completely with Paula, although I think I partly do. I do think that you have a lot of parents who have a good deal of ambiguity about their own authority, and so they don't speak very authoritatively. I think that's true. But I also think that there's a sense in which some of our children were training to be too trusting, not of parents and not of pastors and others, but too trusting generally so that they trust whatever's being said on television and out there in the air around them and their peers and so forth. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Jeff on the line calling from Reidsville, Pennsylvania. Jeff, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you.
What's your thought today on this?
One of the problems that we see in our own church ministry is the lack of older saints discipling the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple in our church recently that just asked if they could start a ministry to young parents, and they're looking for an older couple to lead that. And it just seems there's a real lack of that in today's church.
Jeff, you know, I think that's an excellent point, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we are so divided up in our churches by age group often. And one of the things that you see is that sometimes, especially right now, there seems to be the same kind of attitude that you see with Rehoboam, for instance. After Solomon recognizes and knows that he lacks wisdom, and when he is placed in the kingship, he immediately asks for wisdom. He says, I'm a little child. I'm yet immature. I don't know good from evil. I don't know how to go in or to come out, as he puts it. And he asks God for wisdom. God grants that request. But his son, when he comes to power, remember what he does. He doesn't listen to the older counselors. He listens to his peers. And where does that lead him? It leads him directly into chaos. I think you're exactly onto something there. We have John, who's calling from Florida. John, quickly, what's your thought today?
Well, I really think that the church needs to be addressing the issue of sexual purity. You know, with pornography being so pervasive and so destructive in our society today, I really think that the church needs to do a better job at raising awareness and then offering help. And mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, as parents, we need to become educated, and we need to equip our parents to be able to protect not only themselves but their children from the pervasiveness and the destructiveness of pornography.
All right. Well, thanks, John. What do you think? What are the biggest issues and challenges facing the parents in your area that our churches need to address? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I know this is the Albert Mueller Program. Somehow I just flashed back in time to my old boss, United States Congressman Gene Taylor, and I guess just gave this radio program to him for a minute. But having said that, coming up this Monday, we're going to put the Albert Mueller back in the Albert Mueller Program, as Dr. Mueller will be back from his vacation. So this is his last day, last hurrah of bungee jumping or whatever he's doing off on vacation, and he can get off of the beach, away from the water, and back behind the microphone here at the Albert Mueller Program. And we will be waiting to hear all of the things that he has been thinking about and getting ready to talk about while he has been off on the jet skis on vacation. You know, I thought that Amy Laura Hall had some really interesting points to make. I think it's interesting the fact that she and I probably would disagree on most things in terms of how we understand Scripture, the way that we understand the authority of Christ, the authority of the church. But there's a common understanding here that we have a lot of confusion in our churches about how parents are to parent. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we don't know how to love each other. I'm not just talking about within the family. I'm talking about within the household of God, within the church. And I think what was most interesting to me about that conversation with her is about our understanding of the Lord's Supper. Isn't that true? We don't want to drink after each other. We don't want to touch one another. You think about the way in which so many of our churches, people don't even hug each other. They don't even welcome each other because they don't see one another as family. And yet in the Scripture, the family itself is not stand alone. The family pictures something else. It pictures a household that God has created within the church that he has given for the Lord Jesus. And so one of the biggest problems that we have in our churches has nothing to do with biological families. It has to do with fathers in the church, mothers in the church, brothers and sisters in the church, people who have welcomed one another as Christ has welcomed us. I think if we saw churches like that, that really pictured and mirrored the household of God, you'd have a lot less confusion when it comes to parenting and families. Well, Monday, Dr. Moeller will be back, and he'll be behind this microphone talking about the issues that are going to be facing the country and facing the church in the days to come, and we will be glad to have him back behind the microphone. So you come back Monday and listen as Albert Moeller rejoins the Albert Moeller program. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure to be with you over the past month and a half or so. And we'll be ready for Dr. Moeller back here on Monday. This is the Albert Moeller Program. This is Russell Moore. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who would have thought they'd lead you? Who would have thought they'd lead you? Back here where we need you. Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.